Every now and then I have to tell myself that I'm living in a remarkable, unique, and special time in human history. I do that to keep from getting negative and discouraged. I convince myself that I'm witnessing and living in an age that's going to fascinate historians for a long time. So I keep on going through terrible times in our church and troubling and divisive times in our nation. Then election time rolls around. And I, maybe like you, am very relieved that in two more days, I'll be able to watch TV again without those assaulting and insulting political commercials. One of the things that pushes my panic button is that constant suggestion that we should ask ourselves, am I better today than I was 4 years ago? My first instinct is to yell, no! My joints ache, my eyesight is less, I move more slowly, I nap longer, and my hair is gone. I'm not better. What really gets to me about that question is how it appeals to personal selfishness. Why not ask if society is better off today than it was then? Nobody seems to really want to go there. How about, is the world better off than it was before? Somehow, being better off seems to have something to do with what you drive, where you live, or how often and where you go out to eat, and then what you wear when you do so. So into this kind of question steps the scribe of today's gospel, who respectfully gets into an interesting discussion, and it becomes clear that there's plenty to think about here. From their discussion, it's obvious that the measure of our love for God is determined by our love for neighbor. In other words, if there's someone you can't or have not felt some love for, then there's some good reason to question how much you really love God. If there is someone you don't have love for, then you need to subtract in the other column, in other words. No matter what, love has to do with feelings. And it seems to me that there are just three possibilities: good feelings, bad feelings, or indifference. Only one of them works. You can't read much of the scriptures without getting the idea that God is deeply concerned about the way we treat one another. Our faith and our vocation as disciples is to love, and when we do, we allow ourselves to enter into another's pain. We feel great by doing good, more so than by doing well, materially or financially, because it's in our nature as God's image. Generosity always brings rewards, and joy springs up in us when we do something good for another. When we refuse to look the other way, a strange sadness comes over us. We drive up to an intersection and there is a man or woman holding a cardboard sign. And we dreadfully worry about making eye contact. So we look down, we look the other way, and drive off and feel badly. And we probably should. In the 12th century Spain, there was a famous teacher called Maimonides. He outlined 8 steps or degrees in what he called the ladder of charity. I find them really interesting. The first and the lowest degree is to give, but to give with reluctance, because that's a gift from the hand, not from the heart. The next step is to give cheerfully, but not in proportion to the distress of the sufferer. It's that extra change in your pocket kind of gift. The third is to give cheerfully and in proportion to the need, but not until we're asked. The fourth is to give cheerfully, proportionally, and even before being asked, but to put it into the poor man's hand, causing him shame. The fifth is to give in such a way that the needy may receive the alms, know the benefactor, without the benefactor knowing them. A little anonymity comes in here. The sixth is to know the recipients of our charity, to know them while remaining unknown to them. And the seventh is to bestow charity in such a way that the benefactor does not know the recipient, or the recipient know the benefactor. But the finest way is to anticipate charity by preventing poverty. This can be done by giving a loan of money to enable another to get back on their feet, or by teaching them a trade so that they can earn an honest living and not be forced into the dreadful alternative of holding out their hands for charity. There's a great wisdom here for us to think about, and to perhaps move ourselves along that ladder of charity. Remembering what Mark Twain once said, that one of the finest things that can happen to a person is to do good by stealth and be found out by accident.